worship the Lord this morning together. Isn't he so good to us?
As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. As the Spirit was moving over the waters, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us.
that bridge again. Let's mean it.
And Holy Spirit, come rest on us. You're all we want. You're all we want. One more time. Holy Spirit, come rest on us. You're all we want. 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 You're all we want.
Yeah. You are the medicine, the only cure for everything I feel within. Lost in all that could have been. Oh, this is a healing kind of love. Are the truth been staying through the night when I was out?
This is a faithful kind of love. Everlasting Father,
feel like we can get so caught up sometimes and so rushed. So before we even start this next song, I just encourage you to lift your hands and just breathe in the presence of the Lord.
Thank you.
up our hearts in praise this morning. Worship the Lord together. Oh, we love you, Lord Jesus. We bless you and we praise you, Lord. You are so worthy to be praised and adored. We glorify your name. Father, right now, thank you so much for dwelling in our midst by the presence of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your work of drawing us to yourself today. We pray, Lord God, that you would come and do a fresh work in our hearts this morning. Renew us, O God, strengthen us, we pray. Refocus our attention upon Jesus today, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. May we sense, O God, a new trust in you, a new confidence, a new assurance in our salvation today, a new joy in sensing your presence close to us today. Thank you so much, Lord God, that you are the supply for everything that we need. We give you this service. We give you our lives today. And we pray that as we continue to worship and look into your word together this morning, Jesus would be highly exalted, that our hearts would be encouraged today, that Father, if anyone is in this room today who has not yet made the decision to follow Jesus as Savior and Lord, today would be the day when they begin a brand new life in the presence and power of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the joy of meeting together this morning in Jesus' name. Let's take a moment right now and let's sing one more song today before the preaching of the word. We're going to be looking in just a moment to John chapter 3 again this morning. But for just another moment, let's enter into the presence of the Lord and worship together. Kiana.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never.
Thank you, Lord. Let's give the Lord a praise today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Kiana and worship team this morning. And you may be seated, everyone. We are so delighted that you're here with us in the house of the Lord today as we look to the Word of God together again this morning in John chapter 3. John chapter 3 today as we continue a study we began last Sunday morning in this chapter of John's Gospel. We appreciate Kiana leading in Heidi's absence today. Didn't she do an excellent job this morning? Wonderful. Kiana normally is leading our kids' worship in Kids Church next door, but we're glad to be able to borrow her this morning and are thankful for her ministry today. John chapter 3, verse 1, our series over these next few weeks is entitled, You Must Be Born Again. How many of you this morning would testify that the Lord Jesus has made a radical change in your life? Say amen. How many of you would acknowledge that you have actually been born again through the power of the Lord Jesus? We're going to be looking at what that means today as we continue this story in John chapter 3. Let's read at verse number 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How many of you know Jesus is not moved by flattery? Nicodemus flatters Jesus, but Jesus turns around and tells Nicodemus the cold, hard truth. Actually, it's not a cold, hard truth. It's a wonderful, loving truth. We'll find out. But Jesus turns directly to him and responds, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. We're seeing now, even as we begin this study this morning, that to be born again means to be born of the Spirit. Do you see that? Those two expressions are interchangeable here for Jesus. To be born again means to be born of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Today we continue our look at this powerful nighttime encounter between Jesus and the religious leader named Nicodemus. Everybody say Nicodemus. Some encounters with Jesus were powerful because Jesus performed some dramatic miracle, a healing from sickness or disability, a multiplication of food, a transformation of water to wine, breathing life into the dead. Those encounters with Jesus were powerful because of the miracles Jesus performed. Jesus was powerful both in word and in deed. In fact, his very presence was powerful. And this encounter between Jesus and Nicodemus was powerful not because of a miracle, but because of the message that Jesus preached that day. In fact, the message Jesus preached that day would contain the most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That was a powerful conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus that night. And the power of Jesus was present in his message. Last Sunday, we jumped into this story with a look at the man named Nicodemus. He was a very religious man. He was a Bible teacher. He was highly educated, and he was an important religious leader in his day. Nicodemus worked and taught and governed in the city of Jerusalem, the religious capital of the world, home to the great Jewish temple. That's where Nicodemus did his work. But despite his religious credentials, Nicodemus had a hole in his heart. He was spiritually hungry, and he was searching. And when he sees this new religious leader come along, he thinks a religious leader. How many of you know Jesus is far more than a religious leader? When Nicodemus sees Jesus in action, moving about the city and ministering to people, Nicodemus thinks to himself, this might be just what I've been looking for, just what I've been searching for, just what I've been longing for. Now, Nicodemus is not ready yet to make a public commitment. So Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night in the cover of darkness to investigate, to inquire, to meet Jesus. He's going to, as we say in modern terms, he's going to vet Jesus. He's going to try to discern, is this Jesus all I'm thinking he might be? And he meets Jesus there at night. And in their conversation, Jesus gives Nicodemus a life-changing word that comes down now to us 2,000 years later. Jesus says to Nicodemus that night, in all of your religiosity, something is missing. And what you need, what you must experience, is a new birth. Nicodemus, you must be born again. This morning, we continue our look into this story as Jesus explains the new birth to Nicodemus. And Jesus does that first this morning by revealing the existence of the kingdom of God and how to get into that kingdom. You know, as we think about Jesus in this story and his message to Nicodemus, we are immediately seized by the authority of the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has, even as he's speaking to one of the predominant religious leaders of his day, Jesus has the authority to speak about the kingdom of God. Why? We're going to see it in a minute, because we're going to find out, after all, Jesus himself is the king of the kingdom of God. And he reveals to Nicodemus in this message, in his conversation with him, that there is a kingdom of God to be entered into. And Jesus reveals the key to the kingdom. Look at verse number 3 and hear what Jesus declared. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, Nicodemus, no one, not even you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Let me read that little truth again this morning. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Now, we're going to grab a lot of things out of that brief statement this morning, because there's a lot to be grabbed and a lot to be gained. First, we note that Jesus reveals here the reality of a kingdom. How many of you know today there is a kingdom of God? And Jesus reveals that there is a kingdom out there. Jesus started his ministry, by the way, by declaring the kingdom of God is near. It's right here. The kingdom of God has come. When Jesus came into this world, he came bringing along with him the kingdom of God. And Jesus reveals that there is a kingdom. The kingdom of God, a reality beyond this present world, above it and beyond it, where God's peace and power and agenda and favor reign and rule, where God's blessing is flowing and where God's plan is working, a kingdom of God. I say to you this morning that if there's anywhere I want to be in life, in this life or the next, it's in the kingdom of God. How about you? If there's a kingdom out there to live in and to thrive in and to flourish in, I want to be there. I want to be in the kingdom of God. Think about what Jesus is saying. There's a whole new life. And there's a whole new realm of living that reaches right now from where we are all the way into the future and beyond. It's the kingdom of God eternal. It's the kingdom of God where the presence of God is mighty and powerful. We note that Jesus reveals here the reality of a kingdom. We also note that by the very mention of the kingdom of God, Jesus is noting here the reign of a king. Do you understand? There can't be a kingdom unless there is a king. There's a lot here in this little message from Jesus, and one of the messages is there is a king over the kingdom of God. A kingdom presupposes a king. And throughout the pages of the Bible, we know who the ultimate king is. Psalm 10 declares the Lord is king forever and ever. But Psalm 2 does something very strange in the Old Testament. As Old Testament believers, we could agree with that declaration, the Lord God Almighty is king. How many of you would agree with me today that God is king? Say amen. Amen. But the psalmist in Psalm 2, David, does something unusual with that as he speaks in the spirit of prophecy, the Holy Spirit speaking through him, the Father. In the spirit of prophecy in Psalm 2, God the Father says about somebody somewhere into the future, God says, I have installed my king on his holy hill. And we find in prophecy, and the New Testament confirms it, that the scripture, the prophet David, King David, declares that God is establishing his own king over the realm of the kingdom of God, and that king is someone who would come in the future. For David lived and prophesied and wrote Psalm 2 around 1000 BC, and about 1000 years later, Jesus, the Son of God, would be born into this world, and God would anoint him and install him as king over the kingdom of God. Listen, friends, I know that sometimes as Americans, we don't appreciate the idea of a king. In fact, we understand that in the realms of humanity, a king might be abusive and overwhelming, but when the king is the Lord Jesus, that's a good kingdom to be a part of. And Jesus has come to be king over the kingdoms of this world. And Revelation chapter 19 calls Jesus the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Everybody say, Jesus is king. I use a little devotional that I've had for many years by an old writer from the late 1800s by the name of Francis Ridley Havergal. My little devotional is entitled, My King and His Service. Everybody here this morning who identifies Jesus not only as the King, but as your King, would you say amen? And so Jesus is saying here, as we think about being born again and getting into the kingdom of God, we're going to find out that if we're going to live in the kingdom of God, we've got to acknowledge and live under the lordship of the King of the kingdom, whose name is Jesus Christ. We're going to see it further throughout this discussion between Jesus and Nicodemus, this discussion that getting into the kingdom of God involves following Jesus as your King and your Lord. So we note the reality of a kingdom, we note the reign of a king, and thirdly, as Jesus reveals this truth to Nicodemus, he notes the revealing of the key to the kingdom. And I suppose the biggest question would be, if there is a kingdom of God, how do I get in? And how do I qualify? What's the key? Well, the key, according to Jesus, is this mystical statement. If you're going to get into the kingdom of God, the key is this. You must be born again. Now, even Nicodemus, with all of his education, is not going to understand that. He's going to need more than that. How many of you know sometimes the words of Scripture are complicated and deep, and we need the help of the Holy Spirit to understand? And Jesus says to him, all right, if you're going to get into the kingdom of God, you must be born again. There's no other way. And as we think about this rebirth, then the fourth thing we note about the kingdom of God is we note the rebirth of kids into the kingdom. So we've got this, is everybody still awake? Say amen. Think with me about the thoughts that are circulating in this conversation. We've got a kingdom of God. We've got a king. We've got this born again experience. And we've got people wanting, needing, longing to get into the kingdom of God. And it comes through being born again. And so in the end of this process, we see that yes, through the process of being born again, children are being born into the kingdom of God. Now think about this with me this morning. As we sit here in the church house today in this 8:30 service, I would suppose that almost everybody in this house today knows Jesus as your personal Savior. You love Jesus, you walk with Jesus, you praise Jesus, you worship Jesus, you believe in Jesus, you trust Jesus. Jesus is your Lord and Jesus is your King. Would you say amen? If that's you, I believe that. And so here we are today, having been born again, we've been born into the kingdom of God. Jesus is our Lord and leader, and we are living, even just this local congregation, it's far beyond us. But even in this local congregation, we are living in the kingdom of God. We've been born into that as children born of God. Jesus said in John chapter 1, Jesus said he came to his own, but his own did not receive him. John the apostle said this about Jesus. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, born of God. And so as we think about where we are as born-again believers, followers of Jesus, we're living in the kingdom of God right now. Amen. We are living under the kingship and lordship of Jesus. Amen. And we are children of the kingdom. And so Jesus reveals this new kingdom. The rebirth of kids into the kingdom produces a new breed and generation for God's kingdom, a new creation, people with the Spirit of God living within them and the glory of God resting upon them. I urge you this morning, if you are a child of the kingdom, live all the way up to that standard. Could I have a better amen? If you're a child of the kingdom, shine with the light of Jesus every day that you live. Could I have an amen? If you are a child of the kingdom, bow the knee before the Lord Jesus and be a worshiper of the Lord Jesus. Would you say amen? If you are a child of the kingdom, live in kingdom life. Amen. So Jesus reveals the keys to the kingdom, the key to the kingdom. And he tells Nicodemus, no one can see this kingdom unless he is born again. Well, what do you think the response is from Nicodemus? Nicodemus says, oh, what in the world does that mean? He's a religious leader. And Jesus receives a quizzical questioning from Nicodemus. Look at verse number 4 at how this religious leader responds. Nicodemus asked, well, how can a man be born when he is old? Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Now, how many of you ladies out there have given birth to children? Let me see here. How many of you, by this time, your children are much larger than they were when they were born? Let me see your hand. And how many of you, the pain of the first birth was enough that you wouldn't want them at their size and their age to enter back into your womb? No, we think about that, and yet that's Nicodemus's strange question. Now, it's a rhetorical question. Nicodemus knows that's not going to happen. But he's bantering back and forth with Jesus here. Jesus says you must be born again. And Nicodemus says, well, what in the world does that mean? Are you going to go back into mama and be born a second time? You know, Nicodemus was thinking in the natural. He could not even think that far ahead in the spiritual, even though he was a religious, educated man. He was thinking in the natural. You see, a religious person is not necessarily a spiritual person. Let me say that again. A religious person is not necessarily a spiritual person. Many people go through religious rituals all the time, but they are not spiritually minded and they are not spiritually thinking beings. And though Nicodemus was religious, he was not able to think in this spiritual sense. He was thinking in the natural. Now, Nicodemus was an expert in the Old Testament scriptures, but listen to me, this new birth was a part of a brand new covenant and a brand new work of God. And we don't blame Nicodemus here because this was something brand new. When Jesus confronts Nicodemus with this message, you must be born again, it's like a cow looking at a new gate. You know what I'm talking about? What is that? And so Nicodemus was thinking in the natural, and Nicodemus, as a result, was thinking this was nonsensical. Being born again, what in the world? But you know, spiritual realities cannot be explained naturally because spiritual realities are supernatural. You know, the world looks at us as believers and they think, why would they live the way they live? Why would they do what they do? Why would they act the way they act? And it looks nonsensical to the world. But I'll tell you, friends, after living for Jesus a good while, I'll just have to say it's a whole lot better felt than telt. Could you agree with that? We sometimes the world wonders about all of this, but eventually we have to experience God for ourselves before we can even begin to understand some of these things. And again, even sometimes we don't even fully understand and comprehend, but we certainly can experience the presence and the work of God. Hallelujah. So Nicodemus was thinking this was not nonsensical, but I remind you, Nicodemus was thinking in the nighttime. Not only was it night physically, as Nicodemus came to Jesus at nighttime, but Nicodemus himself was not yet born again. He himself was in darkness, not light. But listen, he was looking that night straight into the face of the light of the world. And think about the reality of this for a moment this morning. Here is a religious man who has been striving probably all of his life to please God by religious acts. And yet his heart is hungering for more than that. He is hungry for a relationship with God. He is hungry for something that will satisfy his soul. He has gone through the motions, but the motions have not been enough to bring him joy and satisfaction. He wants something more. And thank God that night, he walked into that dark place and looked straight into the face of Jesus Christ, the one who is expert in satisfying the soul. Jesus, the one who would say to the woman at the well, if you'll drink from the water that I have to give, you'll never thirst again. Jesus says, I can satisfy where religion leaves you dry. And Jesus here is speaking to Nicodemus about a brand new horizon opening before him. So Jesus reveals the key to the kingdom. He receives a quizzical questioning from Nicodemus. How can this be? What does it mean to be born again? And Jesus responds, thirdly, with a complicated clarification. Listen to verse number 5. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You, Nicodemus, should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. So Jesus, again, is combining two thought processes. Everybody with me today? Say amen. There's this being born again, and then there's this work of the Holy Spirit. in the midst of it. In this story, in Jesus's little explanation here, he speaks about being born again, and he speaks about the wind and how the wind is a picture of the Holy Spirit. We have to understand both of these if we're going to understand what it means to be born again. So let's look at both of them together this morning. First of all, Jesus explains there is a miraculous new birth. There's a new birth to be had. Now let's pause for a moment to look ahead. We won't get to it in this study this morning, but let's pause to look ahead and realize that the new birth will be activated by the death of Jesus Christ on the cross and his resurrection. And it will be accepted by faith in Jesus. All right? So we'll see that later in this passage as we move forward in the next couple of Sundays. But the new birth comes as we trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ for our salvation. The grace of God given to us and our faith to receive God's gift of grace and trust Jesus completely. When we say, oh, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. You died on the cross for me. You rose again from the dead. Jesus, you are the mighty Lord, and I want to follow you. Come into my life and be my Lord. When we do that, listen to me, Jesus says something miraculous happens. Are you here? That's not just a decision of your will. Though it involves that, it's not just you saying, okay, I'm headed south, and now I'm going to turn west, and now I'm going to head around, I'm going to turn east. I'm going to go. No, it's more than that. It's more than just a decision. Oh, okay, I'm going to go ahead and be religious from now on. It's more than that. Many people have decided to be religious, but they have not been born again. They have not trusted entirely the work of Jesus Christ for their own soul's salvation. They have not surrendered themselves to the King of the kingdom. Are you here this morning? And so many are religious, but they've not been born again. So this born again experience is more than just a decision to become religious. You know, with religion, people think, well, maybe a little dab will do you. You know, some people will say, well, I wish he would start going to church because that would, listen, I'm a fan of going to church. I pastor a church. Are you here this morning? I believe in going to church. I believe that's part of the Christian life. I believe that's part of the obedient Christian life, to be a part of a local body of believers. I believe in church, but going to church will not cause you to be born again. Going to church is something that is wonderful for believers, and maybe by going to church, you will be introduced to the door that is open before you to be born again, but you can attend church all your life and never have a real relationship with God and never be born again. So Jesus says this new birth is a miraculous experience, and it begins when we trust Jesus entirely for our salvation. So notice what Jesus explains about the new birth. First, he says, this new birth is sovereign and supernatural. It's from God and it's supernatural. Jesus refers to this new birth as being born of water and the Holy Spirit. To be born of water and the Spirit is to experience two births. Born as a baby into this world, and born by the Spirit into a new life. Now, some Bible teachers would want to tweak around what born of water means here, but clearly you cannot be born again unless you have been born once. And how many of you have been born once? That's a test to see how many are awake in the house this morning. Of course you have. You cannot be born again unless you've been born once. But you know what? Oh, think about this. It's God who created you in your mother's womb. Isn't that right? It's God who worked when you were just a tiny, tiny little baby in your mother's womb. You are, says the psalmist, fearfully and wonderfully made. God knew you when you were, before you were born into this world from your mother's womb. And the same God who who created you in that first birth is the God who has a wonderful new birth for you to experience. So that even as you've come into this world, and maybe you've been singing all these years, oh, it's a wonderful world, all of those things. Listen, if you don't know Jesus, you ain't seen nothing yet. Are you here? Yes, it's a beautiful, wonderful world to live in. God's creation is glorious, but God has something even better for us than this old world in which we live. He has a brand new kingdom for us. Amen. There's a new birth. You're born by the Spirit into a new life. Secondly, this new birth is spiritually substantial. Jesus says the Holy Spirit gives birth to spirit. So that means that when you're born again through faith in Jesus and the grace of God, the Holy Spirit immediately does a work of producing a brand new spirit within you. He takes your old spirit and he transforms it completely and brings it into a brand new being. As Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. So the work of the Spirit gives birth to this new spirit. And thirdly, the new birth is the solitary source of salvation. Jesus says, you must be born again. There's no other way. You can't work your way to salvation. You can't earn your way to it. You can't organize yourself to heaven. If you could, many of us would. We are organizers. We are outliners. We are principle makers, aren't we? We are point writers. We are alliterators. Are you here this morning? We preachers are often sermon writers. But listen, you can't organize your way into salvation. You've got to experience a brand new birth through the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the only way to salvation, and it's the only way to God, a brand new life. Fourthly, this new birth shouldn't surprise, Jesus says, a scholarly student of the scriptures like Nicodemus. He says to him, you should not be surprised at this. You should not be surprised at this. Think with me now. How many of you have read something in the Old Testament in the last month? Let me see. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Surely you have. How many of you know the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament? Okay. The Old Testament scriptures were the pre-Jesus scriptures. The New Testament scriptures are the present and post-Jesus scriptures. And how many of you would agree with me that the New Testament brings a brand new light and a brand new hope? Would you say amen? Because Jesus is revealed to us. But the Old Testament scriptures, for somebody who knows them in the heart, would have known all along the way what God desired, who God really was, what God was really like. At least to a degree before Jesus came as the Son of God, because Jesus brought us so much more fullness in knowing who God is and was. But even an Old Testament scholar who was rooted in the scriptures, how many of you know the Holy Spirit was alive and working in the beginning? The Holy Spirit would help anybody in the Old Testament even as they moved into the Word of God, because the Holy Spirit was the author of the Word of God even then. He inspired the scriptures. And Jesus says to this very educated religious leader, you shouldn't be surprised at the thought of being born again. Why? Because religious efforts and compliance were never enough, even under the old covenant. What God always really wanted from his people, are you here? God wanted his people to trust him, faith, and to love him. That's what God always wanted. Not just in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, God wanted people to love him and to trust him, to believe him. And God's promise centuries earlier stated that a new covenant is coming Ezekiel the prophet had said this in chapter 36. There's coming a day when I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. So, what is that? If God says, I'm going to give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you, what is that any more than being born again? A new heart, a new spirit, everything new. So Jesus says, well, Nicodemus, this shouldn't surprise you. There is a miraculous new birth. And the second part of the explanation of being born again is this. Jesus explains there is a mysterious new breeze blowing. And I say that, that is just a direct statement of what Jesus is saying. Jesus is talking about the wind blowing. The wind is blowing. You don't know where it's blowing, but you can sense it that it's blowing. How many of you can feel the wind? Say amen. I know some of you say, I feel the wind right now in the sanctuary. Don't go into that right now. The wind blowing. Jesus says there's a miraculous new birth and there's a mysterious new breeze blowing. Jesus says the spirit is like the wind when this new birth is taking place. The message here is this, listen to me. The Holy Spirit of God is the life-giving force that fills and moves this newly born person. Do you get that? Let me say it again. The Holy Spirit is the life-giving force that fills and moves the newly born person. And what does Jesus say about this wind of the Spirit? Well, this wind is moving and maneuvering. It's moving all around. Jesus says the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound. It's blowing. It's blowing. And the Holy Spirit, like the wind, is moving. His impact is observable. We can sense his. Has anybody here ever sensed the moving of the presence of the Spirit of God? Of course we have. Of course we have. When the Spirit of God is moving, as believers, we sense that. The old Pentecostals used to say, I've got Holy Ghost goosebumps. I feel the stirring and the moving of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is observable. His work even will be obvious in our lives. As we are born again and our lives begin to change, that change will be obvious and observable. And anybody who knows what they're taught, are you awake? When you're born again and your life begins to change, anybody who knows what they're talking about will look at you and say, the Holy Spirit is working in his life. Those are not just religious decisions she's making. The Holy Spirit is changing her, is changing him. So the wind, this wind is moving and maneuvering. The Holy Spirit is working. Second, this wind is mystical and mysterious. You cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going, says Jesus. So the Holy Spirit often moves surprisingly. That should not be strange to us because the Holy Spirit knows all things. His ways are higher than our ways. He is changing us from the inside out. Is there anybody here who's ever sensed a leading of the Holy Spirit that surprised you?
Oh yes.
Yes. The Holy Spirit sometimes surprises us. Sometimes, listen to me, look at me, everybody. Sometimes we're walking along our merry way as God's children and the Holy Spirit moves us and blows us in an altogether different direction. It surprises us, but we sense and we know this is God. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. This is the leading of God's Spirit in my life. And listen, we are willing to make a left turn or a right turn because we sense God is moving me in this direction. And Jesus says the born-again believer will experience the moving of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it'll be surprising to us, but he's working. And ultimately, Jesus says, this wind is manifesting mightily. Jesus says, as this wind is blowing around like this, so it is with everyone born of the Spirit. So born-again believers are influenced by the Holy Spirit. They are moving at the direction of the Holy Spirit, and they are functioning in the Holy Spirit's power. How many believers in the house today would say, I know that I have been born again through the powerful grace of God and the work of the Holy Spirit? Say a good amen. I have been born again. Say it out loud. Say, I'm born again. I'm born again. If you're born again, the Holy Spirit is working in your life. I just want to say to you, give the Holy Spirit full lease in your life to lead you and to function in your life as he wants. Listen, it's only through the work of the Holy Spirit that we become the brand new creation that God wants us to be. Amen. So here's the summary today. If you'll believe in Jesus, trust him completely, you'll be born again. The Holy Spirit will fill and fuel your life, and you'll live and move as a child of the kingdom. So the bottom line here is this. With Jesus, it's a brand new life. That was a lot to get to that summary, wasn't it? With Jesus, it's a brand new life. Now let's think ahead for just a minute. This conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus will continue for a little further. Let's think about what Jesus will reveal in the continuing conversation. As the night continues, Jesus will reveal that this new birth is experienced by boldly believing in Jesus and his saving work. As the night continues, Jesus will reveal that this new birth is the start to an eternal life in the eternal kingdom of God. How many of you are walking in Jesus today? Say amen. Amen. Keep on walking. Because if you're walking in Jesus, you're going to walk right into heaven one of these days. Hallelujah. And when you get to heaven one of these days, the King of heaven will not be a stranger to you. He'll be your king whom you've been walking with and living under all of these years. As the night continues, thirdly, Jesus will reveal that this new birth will require his being lifted up for all to see and consider. And he will prophesy the death that he will die for the new life that we will live. He will die so that we can live. Isn't that awesome? So let's close this morning with these four challenges. One, trust completely and rely exclusively on the person and work of Jesus for your salvation, for now and forever. Jesus is the answer. Yes. And listen, Jesus did enough for us to be saved. Number two, consider yourself a king's kid and pursue with confidence every kingdom blessing promised in the scriptures. How many of you know today that the kingdom of God is not only all around you, but it's within you? Jesus said that. And how many of you know that you are a child of God and a child of the kingdom? Say amen. Amen. Listen, if that is who you are, then live up to it. Claim every promise God has for you. There are many great and precious promises God has given to his people. Don't fall short of any of the good blessings that God has for the children of the kingdom. Could I have an amen? Amen. Number three, surrender yourself fully to the lifting and leading of the Holy Spirit and go with the dynamic flow of his agenda. Determine yourself if you are a new creation. You are a new creation by the power of the Holy Spirit, who wants to fill your life and fuel your life and lead you into brand new places of His purpose and His power. I don't know about you, but I want all the power and the presence and the blessing of the Holy Spirit that I can get. I want to live every day in the center of what God has for my life. The only way that's possible is surrendering to the sway of the Holy Spirit and saying, Spirit of God, lead me, strengthen me, use me to be a blessing. And number four, look ahead to the fantastic future of the kingdom of God and thank Him for including you in His plan for the ages. Are you a child of God? Have you been born again? How awesome is that? And how blessed are you? I said, how blessed are you? To be a child of God, born into the kingdom of God. How blessed you are to be a part of God's plan for the ages. What a great God we serve. And what a powerful salvation we've experienced. Amen? Amen. And what a beautiful new life there is for us to live. Let's live it. In Jesus' name, amen.